Hello and welcome to Tea O'Clock.
With Keller, bring your tea.
And leave with more.
Hello, welcome to episode
27, I think.
Wow, we're so close to 30. I don't know where we're at now. Yeah.
But yeah, we're no longer in person for this one, which is really upsetting. Being like scattered across the country again, which is sad.
Well, we had a good run of doing them in person though. So.
Yeah. And this week we have not one, but two special guests with us. So we've got Georgina, who's been here before.
Hello.
And we've also got Ella.
This is me. I'm really excited.
Well, this is a long time coming. We always talk about both of you on here.
Yeah.
But it's nice to finally have you on here, Ella.
You know, suddenly slightly starstruck.
Oh my god, are we famous?
I'm hearing you through a silver screen right now.
So the idea is today we're doing our own little book club, except none of us have read the same books. Well, we might have.
We'll find out.
Yeah, the concept is based off of this TV show that I'm obsessed with. I think I spoke about it in one of the What We've Been Consuming before. It's called Between the Covers, and Sarah Cox hosts it, and I've been making George watch it with me.
I have been enjoying it. It's not been a forced procedure.
And it's basically a celebrity book club on BBC Two. You can find it on iPlayer. And they just talk about their favourite books, and there's loads of questions about books they go through. So I've written down 15 questions, which I've sent everyone in advance, because I knew Ella would need to think about it for a while. Yeah. And we're just going to go through them and chat about books.
But before that, as always, we will do what we've been consuming.
Yeah.
Ellie and I can go first to give you guys time to either think or decide whether you even want to join in.
That's a good idea.
Do you want to kick us off, Kerry?
Yeah, can do. I prepared this time because normally we get to this and I'm like, don't actually know.
I've got my little post-it note.
I've missed your post-it note. Well, I have been listening to this podcast called Publishing Insight, and it's so good. I really recommend it if anyone wants to get into publishing, because I do and have no idea how to go about it. So it's telling me about what the whole industry entails, so it's really useful. And I have been watching Loki, which I thought I'd bring up because I know we've all seen it. I don't know how far through you are now, Ella, but
yeah, I'm only three episodes in.
Okay, we won't do spoilers. But yeah, the highlight for me was the alligator, and I'll leave it at that. And I have been reading, well, actually I just finished last night, Weird Sister by Kate Pullinger. And it's amazing. I gave it 5 stars, and it's about a witch who comes back and takes her revenge on the people who persecuted her all those years ago. And it's really cool. But
you don't give 5 stars lightly.
No, I don't. Exactly.
Yeah, your Goodreads average is like 3.
I mean, I give out quite a few 4 stars, but 5 stars. Ella, would you like to do yours?
Yeah. Okay, then.
What have you been consuming?
Well, I read 1,000 Ships this week, which was really good. I gave it 4 stars, and it's like retelling parts of the Trojan War and like the Odyssey and stuff, but purely from the female's point of view, which was really good.
There's quite a lot of that sort of genre about it at the moment.
But it was really good. Yeah. Like, there are some rubbish ones, but it was like a proper good one, and I really enjoyed it. So highly recommend that one. Mm-hmm. And it's fun because it's told through like lots of different point of views. So you have maybe like one chapter of like a certain goddess or some woman, and it's great. Really enjoyed that. I've been listening to the Call Me By Your Name soundtrack. I listened to that the day whilst reading.
That is a vibe there. You have got that vibe down. Mm-hmm.
So that was good. And then I've actually watched a couple of musicals this week, because we watched Newsies last night, which was really good. And it had Jeremy Jordan in. Love that man.
Jeremy Jordan.
Yes. Yeah, I knew you would know George.
Yeah, I know him.
Ella was like, who's Jeremy Jordan?
I was not the friend that she needed at that moment.
He's an absolute king. That's who he is.
Yes, I now know.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jeremy Jordan.
And then I also watched Moulin Rouge the other night as well. That's me, I guess.
Did you cry at Moulin Rouge?
Yes, a lot. Okay, just
checking. I need to watch it.
Yeah. It's on Disney, so
I will do that then. I will.
You haven't got Loki to get you through your days.
Oh, I shed a tear. That sounded sarcastic, but I do genuinely.
Yeah.
Should I do mine?
Yeah, go for it.
Please do.
Well, I was going to say Loki for what I have been watching. So I will say Loki again, because I enjoyed it very much. I know, I feel like we have a very split opinion about Loki, but for me, it was a 5-star. Books, I have almost finished Devil in the Dark Water, which I totally haven't been reading for months. I'm on page like 400 and something. It has been very good. I think I will give it a 4-star. I have no idea how it's going to end. And it's basically set in the 1600s, and there is this supernatural, vengeful spirit that could also be a person, or it could actually be supernatural, that is like plaguing this ship bound from an island to Amsterdam, and it's like an 8-month journey, and it's very interesting. So I would actually recommend that book for people to read. Been listening to Arlo Parks' album Collapsed in Sunbeams. Very nice, good vibes, kind of like sunset vibes is the best way I can describe it. And yeah, I am in love with her voice, and I am praying that someone will be willing to watch her with me at Latitude next week, because I am genuinely debating now. I'm like, maybe I do just watch her by myself if no one else wants to.
Holden to no man or woman.
Yeah, I'll just quote that. I'll have a placard that's your quote, and I'll hold it up to people like, sorry, I need to do this.
And now that I have appeared on this podcast, I'll be a famous person, so they'll be like, oh, her words are the law.
Yeah. Like, Obama, this is law.
A new one, but a good one. I've been consuming a lot of the same films that you've been watching. Particularly finished watching the Act Two of Hamilton a couple of nights ago. Right? It was very good. I watched the first half with Kerry and Ella. We were really tired by the start of Act Two, and Kerry hates the start of Act Two, so we just didn't watch the second half. I was like, it's all good so far. And then
we watched it and we cried.
So much crying. But really interesting, particularly because I've watched In the Heights as well quite recently.
So, In the Heights. Oh my God.
You know, that just sets all of us off.
Yeah,
talking about things you've been listening to, like there's been a lot of In the Heights soundtracks.
I'm very proud of you.
Oh, thank you. And yeah, even though I'm not a big music listener, I have been, there's been a lot of Lin-Manuel Miranda in my life recently. That and whatever my flatmate James is playing the flat day, he really pumps it up quite loud.
I say, it doesn't sound like you get the choice of listening to no. music.
No, it's got quite a varied music taste though, so it's always something new around the bend. Same old routine, waking up at heart as he goes for a shower. It's always something interesting. And reading, I've been trying to get through Heart of Darkness, which I definitely should have read before because it has been on syllabus.
Yes.
I've got to read it for my module next year. It's all post-colonialism. That's the module I'm reading it for.
Ooh.
But so far I'm reading it, I'm going, oh, I don't know why I avoided this one. It's quite good.
It's quite prettily written.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember what term was used to describe it by Jason. Like literary abstractism or something, cubism or something, I don't know. He named
Oh
it.
Yeah, he went as Jason does, a bit left field, and made a very difficult to understand reference.
Yeah.
But we appreciate him trying.
Yeah. So those are the things I've consumed.
Very good, very good.
Are you still going with Calypso?
Me? Oh, yeah. Did I tell you about this? So I've read the first, like, 60 pages now. But it's just, I mean, it's really funny. It's written by David Sedaris, who's, I don't know, he quite often narrates things and the like. He writes a lot of stuff. So his voice is really interesting and really funny. but it's just really pessimistic. You read it and you don't come away with a warm, fuzzy feeling. Like, it is about, like, sort of being middle-aged, but it's not, like, you know, making you go, ah, this is a fun...
not making you look forward to middle age.
Essentially, I'm like, I'll stick at this whole 20-year-old thing for now.
Did you ever read Notes from Underground first year?
No.
I'm imagining it has a similar vibe from how you've described it.
Mm.
I feel like it has a similar vibe to Notes from Underground.
Well, maybe I'll actually no, I won't stick that to my reading list. Can barely get through it. But it's a bit of an autobiography. I'm not sure if I said. What is interesting about it, so I was reading the little comments that they have on the back instead of blurbs now, because was that it's a sort of new style of novel, like not often done before. So it is definitely an autobiography, but it's written as if it were a novel. So that's quite cool.
Very good. And talking of the books, leads very nicely onto this entire conversation we're about to have. I guess we'll just work through all the questions. take in turns to answer them, and yeah, go from there. Kick it off with the first one, which is, what's your favourite book of all time? Which, you know me, I'm the most indecisive person ever. I wrote down three.
No. Oh my god,
such a big question.
It was really hard because I was like, I think if I did have to just pick one, I would pick The Picture of Dorian Gray.
Really? I didn't know that's how much you loved it.
I really, really love that book because I feel like it's got a bit of everything, and
I almost put Oscar Wilde down as the one that I'd want to talk to.
Wait, we're going to get there in a minute.
Carry on.
Spoiler alert. Woo, spoiler.
Stop.
So I think if I had to pick, it would be Dorian. But the other two I wrote down were Rebecca and The Night Circus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is a strong three.
Anyway, George, what's your favourite book of all time?
My favourite book of all time is Jane Eyre by Charlotte Bronte.
Interesting. Good.
Yes, I demolished it in year 10 reading it, and then I reread it like 6 months later, which I think is a big show of how much I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. But I just love Jane Eyre's character. Like, she's just such a great example of, one, a strong literary character, but two, like, what a strong female character can be. Like, they can have a romance plot and that doesn't have to diminish their, like, independence and autonomy. And the writing style is so lovely, and I just, yeah, I adore Jane Eyre.
Oh, that's really interesting, because I haven't read Jane Eyre, and I watched it, like, a long time ago. It was a bit of an iffy version.
Did you watch the Fassbender one?
It's not good.
God, no. that wouldn't have been what I expected from. I would have expected, you know, Jane Austen type, save me, man.
Yeah. It's got a bit more going for it, I feel. Yeah. Like, I love a bit of Pride and Prejudice, but Jane Eyre, you've got a bit of supernatural. Mm-hmm. You've got dark and light. You've got weird people.
Yeah.
Good choice.
Okay.
Oh my god, it's me.
Sorry, I was like looking at you through the screen. Yeah, I was like,
what? Was I meant to introduce Kerry then? Was I meant to go, and Kerry, what's your
favourite? Oh, you can do that.
No, I don't mind. I was just thinking about Jane Eyre, to be honest. my favourite book ever is Homestretch by Graham Norton, which I have not stopped going on about because I just love it so much. It only came out last year, I think. And the premise is that there's a car crash and it's about what happens to the survivors, how life goes on after. But it's about so much more than that. And it's just amazing. It's like set in London and they're in Ireland and they go over to New York. And it's just, I know, about human life. And it's the most beautiful thing I've ever written. I did not expect that from Graham Norton. And everyone just has to read it. I just can't do it justice in words. But it's one of those books, you know, when you're excited to go and read it. And I was like, I'm normally like that with TV shows, but with this book, I was like, right, I need to, like, in my lunch break, I was like, and it's amazing. I was like, I want to cry thinking, like, talking about it because it's so good. I just, oh,
that does sound good. Could be a summer read.
Yeah. Once you do it, you will lap it up. His writing's so easy to read as well. So, 10 out of 10. Okay, Ella, well, what about you?
Yeah. Well, talking about easy to read writing, I've gone not for any of these books that I read like in year 10 or like in the last year or two. I've gone for Percy Jackson's, like every single Percy Jackson book.
Oh, I've read,
just because, I don't know, they were the best book when I was little. They're still the best book now. I would like to just say hello to Riggy Riddan and be like, yes, congratulations. I don't know, I just, they're funny, they're interesting. I could go back to them and reread them even now and be like, this is a, you know, I'd be entertained.
Mm.
I can't actually read the really early ones anymore because I'm just really embarrassed by it. I'm like, what, 12? Being 12. But yeah, it just, I always feel they're just a really comforting, lovely book to go back to even now.
Oh,
and I love them when I was reading them first.
Do the films do them justice or not really?
Under no circumstances.
But they are making a series.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's on anything that we can see though, is it?
Well, I don't think they haven't started making it yet.
I don't know what doing platform casting. They're doing on.
Oh, but it will probably be on something somewhere.
I enjoyed Logan Lerman as Percy Jackson.
Oh, I love Logan Lerman.
This is a Logan Lerman fan club.
Oh, definitely. Did you not see that recent picture of him and Dylan O'Brien?
Yeah.
No, two faves in one.
Okay, I'll have to find it. Oh,
is this the Logan Lerman that I was like, and then you showed me a recent picture and I was like, oh.
I can send it to George. We've got quite a nice mix of different favourite books.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah, we've got a very mixed genres and years, actually.
Yeah. So good on us.
I don't like, you know, when people are like, oh, my favourite book is someone on Between the Covers said about like Madame Bovary, and I was like, really? I mean, I'm not judging, but I'm just glad that we're bringing it back down to earth a bit, you know?
Yeah.
Wait, who was it that said The Odyssey on there?
Richard Ayoade, I think.
Was it Richard Ayoade? I've
paired him in that book, ever.
To be fair, no, Richard Ayoade, I would have said, would have read The Odyssey. He's
yeah, but I won't think...
Was it Phil Wang?
Oh, it was. Yeah, I knew it was someone funny. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was Phil Wang. Yeah. It's the kind of thing that Richard Ayoade also would have said.
Yeah.
Okay, the next question is, what book changed your life?
I love this question.
That's a really interesting one.
Yeah. I was sat and thought for like a while.
I was going to say a week.
Honestly, yes, I did keep coming back to these questions. But in the end, I decided to go for the Little Grey Rabbit books, right? Which are children's books about all these different animals and this little grey rabbit, basically. And I went for those because they're the books that my nana always used to read to me when I was and like just always enjoyed, like when we'd go visit her and she'd always read me these like cute books. And I think I chose those because I was like, those books and like her reading to me and us reading together like probably got me into reading, I think.
That's interesting.
It made me like really love reading and enjoy doing it because it was like such an integral thing from such a young age. So that's why I chose those books to be the ones that like changed my life, because in effect, they're the reason I'm now at uni studying English, because they got me into enjoying reading so much. And yeah.
That is so cute.
So yeah, that's me.
I'm sitting here sort of like, I'm like, oh my God, I've witnessed someone's life change. It's a beautiful moment.
So yeah, what about you, George?
Oh God, this feels a bit less now. Mine is, books changed my life, was The Catcher in the Rye by Janie Salinger. And I read this in year 9 because my English teacher at the time was like, oh, this is the book I'm reading with my book club, like outside of school. He was like, do you want to borrow it? Because we basically just stuck to like English and British writing. And I read it, and I read it in like 3 days. And it, to be honest, now this kind of genre isn't even my preferred style of writing. Like, I don't find it that engaging. But this is the book, like, I think just to have my English teacher engage with me and be like, oh, do you want to read this? And then read it and then be like, what did you think? And actually, like, care about what I had to think about something that wasn't on the syllabus just made me realise that I really enjoyed reading and, like, experiencing new literary worlds. And actually to discuss them was something that I found so exciting. And somewhat ironically, we just had a fire alarm and I was like, oh, I've got your book. And then we were just walking back from the field chatting about it. But it, I don't know, I think it changed my life in that way, because I actually genuinely started to consider a future with English that I hadn't really thought about before.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the book that changed my life.
Oh,
Kerry, what is your book that changed your life?
Well, this just proves how much Ella and I are the same person. Because I found this question the hardest. And it's not, I didn't pick the same books. I've been thinking about this for so long. And in the end, I settled on Twin Tales by Jacqueline Wilson.
Mm.
And my reason was because that's the first book that I properly remember reading or being read to by my dad, which wasn't a picture book. And so I was like, I just think, pick the first one that I can properly remember, because then, same as Ella, like, this is why I'm now at uni doing English, because that was what started off my love of reading. So I went, it's so weird how our brains work the same way. We use the exact same logic to arrive at it.
That's crazy.
On quite a similar slant, I also went for the book that made me study English at university. Mm-hmm. But I didn't decide to study English until at university, until A-level, when I started reading The Bloody Chamber by Angela Carter. Previously I was going to do classics and be a cool classics kid, probably putting down The Odyssey as my favourite book, Rich Diwadi. But I just sat down in those lessons with Mr. Martin. And I read this book, and it was the first time, because GCSE, you just read the sentence and you're like, wow, she's wearing the deepest black. This is Thorben black. She's wearing the deepest black. That means that she's sad. And so it didn't really hit all the things that I wanted it to hit. It was the first time that I really noticed and understood how, you know, literature could be used to look at the world, particularly because The Bloody Chamber was gothic, but quite a modern version of gothic. It was written in the 60s, I think. And so she was really using all the ideas of, like, you know, showing you the taboo in the gothic to go, actually, maybe we shouldn't, you know, trap women in marriage and things. But yeah, that was the first time I realised what you could do with a book. And not only did it, you know, make me go, oh, let me study English at university, but, you know, having now studying English at university, I think I'm an entirely different person than I would have been if I'd, like, did a STEM subject or something like that, because I don't know, I just think I analyse the world a bit more than I would have done otherwise. The way I think is entirely changed by the fact that I'm doing English at university.
Yeah. Mm.
There you go. The Bloody Chamber by Angela Carter.
That's so true.
They really changed lives.
We all think so deeply about everything, don't we? We're the kind of people who, like, we can't just listen to a song, we listen to it and we're, like, analysing the lyrics.
Oh my God. Literally, you know how I was talking about that we were watching In the Heights and Hamilton and, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, I just spilled a very small amount of tea on Ella's bed. And Newsies is another musical we watched recently. I've had to restrain myself from, like, talking about my new ideas of, I don't know, feminism and things after each one, because I'm like, this is not what Ellie and Elle want to hear. Not right now. But yes.
Even though, you know, I'm probably thinking those exact same things as well. The next question on a similar kind of vein is, which book inspired you the most? Or just inspired you?
I
actually didn't write down an answer for this because in a way, God, this is going to sound really cheesy. In a way, it feels like every single thing I've read has in some way.
Nice.
If that makes sense. Because I don't even know myself. I haven't fully formed these thoughts, to be honest. It's like, I guess it could be the same as like the answer to the previous question, it being like, well, these books inspired me to read more and study English, blah, blah. Then I just couldn't quite decide. I don't really know, basically, is the answer to that one. Bit of a cop-out answer. Everything.
That's a valid answer.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have more, like, actual, like, pinpointed books, but I just couldn't.
But I sort of know what you mean, because every time I read a book, like, for the hour after, like, I've read it, like, my brain sort of mimics the main characters. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I sort of think like they do for a while, take on their personality aspects. So yeah. They assimilate a lot when you're reading.
Because like even when just recently I finished reading A Thousand Ships, I was like, yes, I can become like a classic person and learn about all these different stories and know everything about them. Like, yes, I'm ready to do that. And then I could then read, I don't know, Hamlet and decide to learn every single thing I could ever about Shakespeare. I know, I feel like...
Yeah,
little bits from everything. So yeah, what about you?
I said the book that inspired me is Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. It's perhaps a boring answer, but I was doing my coursework in year 13 and you had like these very kind of vague questions, but like just answer them. Like it wasn't like uni where you have a vague question which you then have to be more specific about. So the question was like, how do Daphne du Maurier and Thomas Hardy discuss landscape in their works? And one, I really enjoyed reading Rebecca. It is a great book. I get why you put it in your top three books of all time, but it is also where I discovered, which I think all of you know very much about my obsession with the sea in literature. And it's the first essay I wrote in year 13 where I had this really specific focus. And it still to this day feels like a uni essay. Like I am so proud of that bit of coursework. And I got so into it and I was like, oh, I can see myself doing this for 3 years, and now I am very much entertaining the possibility of writing about du Maurier in my dissertation. So I feel like I had to put that as the book that's inspired me and actually made me believe in myself the most. Yeah, so that is my answer. Kerry, what about you?
I picked This Guy Is Everywhere by Jandy Nelson. Oh. And I am the biggest Jandy Nelson fan ever. I can't believe she's only released 2 books. Are you kidding me? I need more. I always love her other book and I really wanted to write it down for an answer for something, but I couldn't fit it in. But anyway, I chose this because I agree with Ella, like every book I've ever read has inspired me, and that's why I cling to all of them. I can't give them away. But this one specifically, because the protagonist goes and writes poetry and leaves it around town, like she'll write on a random leaf or a crisp packet or something. And I started doing that. I started writing poems and leaving them around town. And I was like, oh God, this is so cool. And I think she's my favourite author, I would say. And her writing style made me want to write like her. So it's inspired me more creatively with how I write. What about you, Ella?
See, I'm also going to have to cop out. I literally, on my notes, the word cop out is written. And say not a book, but a poem. Because I don't think I can pinpoint a specific book that's ever, you know, inspired me in such a way that I could like answer this question. But I read The Rights for Cousin Vit by Gwendolyn Brooks last year in our poetry seminar. And I find studying English and reading books really interesting because each one, you know, I look at their perspective and I sort of assimilate it into my worldview a little bit, that or I go, yeah, not for me. But the Rites for Cousin Vit really just put you back in touch with the beauty of the everyday. Like, so rather than this, you know, presenting all these beautiful stories that you can be, you know, inspired to reach towards, it glorifies what you already have. And so that's, you know, just as part of how I view the world, that has been one of the things that has, you know, contributed most to, like, I try to appreciate the little things as you go through life, essentially. But I could even, my favorite,
read us the poem.
I could read you the lines that I like the most, if you do not mind.
Okay,
thank you. Even now she does the snake hips with a hiss and slops the bad wine across her shantung. Talks of the guitars and bridge work, and it goes on from there. But it just, the whole spilling your wine across, you know, your top is, it was not a nice thing usually, but it just, it goes, yeah, she's just living her life. She's living in happily hysterics. And is. This is one of the quotes from the poem. I don't know, I just like it.
That is nice.
Thank you.
This is also heartwarming. I love that.
So, so wholesome. The next question is about books that made us cry.
Oh, I was so here for this question. Favorite one. I want to know what made you all cry.
Well, I thought the most recent, I thought first, I was like, what's the most recent book I read that made me cry? That would have been Hamnet, crying on Kerry's bed.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I'll just come up with some like notable mentions of other things. Of course, The Fault in Our Stars. When I read that as a 14 year old, I blubbed.
Mm-hmm.
Deathly Hallows. I cried a lot during Deathly Hallows.
Yeah.
What about Half-Blood Prince?
Yes. I feel just like the end half of the Harry Potter books, there were many tears.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Oh, sorry, I was just thinking of other sad things in Harry Potter books. I cry a lot, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was trying to think of other, maybe more recent ones. And then I think these two might also be on Kerry's, like, if she has like a little list. But Before the Coffee Gets Cold and The Midnight Library, cried at both of those quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then those ones, some of it was sad, but some of it was also like happy crying.
Oh,
I know what you mean.
Quite a mix.
I like a book that can do that, like just make you so emotional that you just cry everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, those were the ones that I wrote down for that.
Mm.
Nice combination there of many tears.
There are many more, but I would probably just list like half of my bookshelf.
Yeah.
We don't need me to rattle off all of that. What about you, George?
Yeah.
This book has made me cry more than any other book I have ever read. I genuinely was sobbing. And it's Half Lost by Sally Gree, which is the third part of the Half Bad series. And it is like teen fiction. But oh my god, the ending of the last, because Half Lost is the last book.
Mm.
And I was just inconsolable. Do I do spoilers or not?
You can.
Yeah.
Yes.
Spoilers. So there's this bit of this love, the main character is called Nathan. It's like Black Witches, White Witches, and it's all very like witchy and magic-y. And Nathan is the main character, and then he knows this girl called Annalise from his like everyday life. And then when he's on the run, he meets this guy called Gabriel. And then it becomes this bit of a love triangle. But I don't know if it's really a love triangle because Gabriel just loves Nathan, but then Nathan can't decide between both of them. Spoilers, he picks Gabriel, yay, because Annalise did not like her. Fast forward to the end of the last book. Gabriel dies.
No!
which devastated me, and he dies saving Nathan, which is, and Nathan can slow down time, so they're trying to have this moment in like slowed down time, and then he buries Gabriel, and Nathan can transform himself, and he transforms himself into just a giant oak tree where Gabriel's grave is, so they could be together forever. And I genuinely cried so much. I was like, I was not expecting this. And I'd like, this was one of the first series that I'd bought the first book, waited for the second book to come out, waited for the third book to come out. Like, I was on that journey, and yeah, I've never cried more than that.
I'm not joking. I'm here on the edge of tears now.
I am explaining it. I can't explain like how much, because I never read The Fault in Our Stars because it's not really my kind of book. So I hadn't really gone through that like teen cry book. Mm-hmm. And then I found this series and I was like, this is my teen cry book.
Yeah, we've all got to have them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry just to unload my trauma related to that, but that was at least 5 years ago and I'm still not over it.
Wow. I don't think you should be.
Carrie, what about you?
I was thinking about this and it literally makes no sense for me and Ella to not speak one after the other, because every time you've spoken so far, I'm like, oh my God, like mine links into yours. It's actually ridiculous. Why are we the same person? I was going to say for mine, before the coffee gets cold, by Toshikazu Kawaguchi, because I can count on one hand the amount of times a book's made me cry. Like, I cry at every film, but not really any books. I don't know what it was with this book. It just set me off. I was crying for the majority of it. It's just, I think because there's a sister relationship in there, and I was thinking about my sister, and so I was like, oh. But honestly, that book, I was not expecting it. Everyone needs to read it because it's not that long, and it's really cool because I don't think I've ever read anything written by a Japanese writer, and it was so interesting. It's completely different to anything I've read before, so I highly recommend that one if you'd like to cry.
It's not all sad.
I think it was also so lovely that it made me cry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely, it's really really good, and it's only like that big. It must, yeah, have been 150 pages or something.
Okay, Ella, what made you cry?
The first book that I remember this vividly, because I was sat, my mum was reading it to me. It was still in the moment where, like, my mum read me books more than I ever read books myself. And for that were, we picked up the book that Claire with the Hair had given to us, Bridge to Terabithia.
Oh my gosh!
And I must have been 9, like, just sat, I think I was on the floor. And mum was sat at the kitchen table, and heretofore I'd never known that a book was meant to make you cry before. I was like, no, that's just all happy and lovely, probably reading lots of Percy Jackson, which was at that time just, you know, fun adventures into Greek demigod worlds. And then all of a sudden, the main character is dying. And spoiler alert. And I was like, no, and I genuinely, I think me and my mum couldn't finish it.
Oh.
I can't remember if that kitchen table memory is us deciding not to finish it, or like after a long time being like, I need to get through this and find the end. But that was the first ever book to make me cry, and I was like, no, this is unacceptable. Please and thank you, just make her be okay. And the most recent book to make me cry was also Hamlet. Also sent to me by Claire, and yeah, I
she just love sending you sending you cry.
And that's what sent us all off on this little Hamlet spiral, really.
Yeah.
I think me and Kerry need to get on this spiral.
Yeah, please do. It can't be complete, it has to come full circle, please and thank you. Oh yeah, and I had a little note as well. I was like, because you talking about your little fantasy series, Georgina, I noted down that those long fantasy series, is particularly where they haven't, all the books are, all haven't been brought out yet, so you're waiting years and years, you know, to hear the end. You get so invested in these characters that that when they go and die on you, you're like, no, thank you.
It's unforgivable.
Let's turn this to a positive.
Yes,
and ask a question about what book makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several books for this, but I picked one that I read recently, and I picked The Midnight Library by Matt Haig, which is very good. Mm-hmm. Would recommend it. I know it's like on the top of all like the bestseller charts. It's done really well for itself. But I was just, because there are sad bits in it, but there are also really happy bits. And I think it just left me feeling really kind of like happy and hopeful, and that like it just makes you aware of all the possibilities and all the good things that are there, even if at times it feels like there's not. And it's like every little decision is an important thing that's leading you like in the right direction for the life right for you. And I just, yeah, I remember just with tears down my face, smiling at the end of it.
Gosh, so that's really interesting.
Yeah, I picked that one.
I feel like if you, I think, like regret a lot in your life or a bit unsatisfied when you read that book, you're like, oh, actually, I'm good. It's all good.
This is going to sound really bad, but I couldn't think of a book. Because
Georgina, I couldn't either. Sorry.
I don't really read like feel good books, if that makes sense, which is going to sound super weird, but like it's not my genre. Like, my genre is more kind of, I feel like me and Ella may be similar, LM, of like kind of fantasy slash like not based on everyday life.
Yeah.
And I genuinely just can't think of a book that maybe be like, yes, I'm gonna take on the world, or like, I don't know, I just don't read it. So I was racking my brains trying to think of a book that did. And I was thinking like, oh, maybe there's an autobiography I've read. I was like, you know what? All the autobiographies I've read from people that have had difficult lives.
Yeah.
I
was like, can I pick a book that I just found really funny? Because that's feeling good in a way. But I was like, I can't do that. I can't.
Yeah, I couldn't even think of a comedy book. Like, I read John Richardson's book, which was funny at places, but also really sad.
But
I cannot supply an answer for this question.
What about Jane Eyre? Did that not leave you feeling empowered?
It didn't make me feel good though, like in a way that you say, like how Midnight Library is like life affirming. Like Jane Eyre wasn't life affirming for me.
Yeah.
So I am sorry to bring the pessimism just after Ella's joyful optimism.
All right, Kerry's going to bring it right back up for us.
Yeah, and then Ella will bring it back down.
Yeah. I've read so many feel-good books because I like to read to escape. And so I'm just like, oh, this is so lovely, like all these happy, happy things. And anyway, I chose a children's book for mine because those are the ones that are comfort reads. And I chose The Enchanted Wood by Enid Blyton because even now as an adult I still read it, and every time I feel sad I go and read that series. Oh, and it's the cutest thing ever. It's so lovely. I recommend that adults read it right now if they haven't already, because I don't understand how it's not a TV show or a film or something, because I've never read any magical world quite like it, and it's just adorable. I'm obsessed.
Are you skipping this one?
I've said all I've wanted to say. Over George, apologies for that.
The next one's a fun one. Next one is, what character would you like to meet? What character? I chose Gandalf.
Nice
choice.
Because, I mean, one, he's a wizard, and that's probably cool. He would have so many like great stories and cool things to tell you. I would just happily just like sit there and let him talk at me for hours. I feel like it'd be great. Like, we could be sat, I don't know, in the Shire somewhere. He'd be making little smoke rings with his pipe, and I'd just be listening to him chatting about all the cool things he's done.
Yeah. And
is this just because you actually want to become a hobbit?
But yeah. Because I was thinking about it for a while, because there are so many characters I'd like to meet, but I was like, I wouldn't want to be disappointed, but I feel like you couldn't be disappointed.
Yeah, it's a strong answer.
What about you, George? Who do you want to meet?
I really couldn't decide on this question, but I think I have settled on Elizabeth Bennet from Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, nice.
Because I just admire her so much. And this is mainly coming from the 1990s TV BBC version. Largely, I will be honest, but she's a book character, so it counts. But I just, I love the, I think everything about her is so admirable, like the way that she looks out for her family and like tries to put other people before herself, which is perhaps like she shouldn't always do, but then she does in the end. Like she knows her own worth.
Mm.
And that's what I really like. And I just love to sit in a lovely little drawing room, a lovely country house, and just have a chat with Elizabeth Bennet about books and life and men being annoying. But then I was like, I think I'm gonna have to go with Elizabeth.
Yeah, can I come with you for this stuff?
Yeah, I can bring a plus one.
Yes, thank you.
Well, we could make this into a dinner party and we could all bring our plus one.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah, and then if like conversation gets slow, at least we have each other, we can be like, hi.
Yeah, that is a good idea. Kerry, what's your...
Well, mine relates to my last answer because I chose Moonface from The Enchanted Wood. Mm-hmm. Because Moonface is the best character ever. He's what he sounds like. His face is just a moon.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just got a little body. And he's got a slide. Well, he lives in this magic faraway tree.
I was about to ask you, is The Enchanted Forest the same as The Faraway Tree?
They're
two connected books, aren't they? But
I think it's The Magic Faraway Tree and The Fog The Faraway Tree are the other two. And so you climb up this tree and there's all these different characters on each level, and there's all these different lands that pass at the top, and they'll have like the land of presence or whatever that you can visit. There's a schedule, you can go to wherever you want. And anyway, Moonface's house, he has a slide and goes all the way to the bottom of the tree, and you get your little cushion and you go on it. And he's the main one that the kids hang out with. And oh my God, just imagine going up to this tree, to this little Moonface man, and he gives him little drinks and that and takes him to these magical worlds. Oh, I just love him.
I would go down that slide, but do you know what? It kind of freaked me out, those books. Like, in a good way, I loved them. But they just left me feeling slightly disturbed because there's always a bit of mild peril in every little land they went to. So I reckon I would be too scared. I'd be like, ah, Moonface. And it's all the various connotations with meeting Moonface, the scary tree, the other lands, getting stuck in another land while your rocking chair with red wings isn't working, that sort of stuff. It's too scary. Oh, yeah. See, this isn't the person that I'd most want to meet, I think. However, particularly with lockdown, I think I've gone half mad because it's quite bad and I haven't told anyone this before. But
exclusive here on 2 o'clock.
First.
But my favourite fantasy long-standing series I've ever read is The Throne of Glass by Sarah J. Maas. And I had been reading these probably for like 6 years, waiting for them all to come out. And the most recent one and the last one came out a couple of years ago, particularly over lockdown. Like any time that I had time with myself, I had a lot of time to like six hour long journeys just in a car by myself, like 30 minute dog walks, just, you know, alone. Like I went through a really like 6 month phase of any time I was alone, I just imagine like the characters from Throne of Glass popping up and being like, hi Ella, what's happened? Like, why are you suddenly in a different world? And being like, I don't know, would you like to pop home for a cup of tea and we can figure out how to get you back home? Like, I genuinely, like, it was like becoming a daily occurrence. I was like, Ella, oh my God, like, put your feet back on the ground. But yeah, so I mean, it would be really cool. I would very much like to invite them in for a cup of tea and like go on a magic quest to like get them back home. But at the same time, so there you go. They're cool kids, Aelin and Rowan. Yes, there you go. I was struggling over my pronunciation of those fantasy names.
All fantasy names.
All fantasy names.
Everyone. Oh yeah. It's just part and parcel of reading fantasy. You're like, this is your name now. It's probably not how it's said, but it is now.
Yeah. Okay, so jumping on to the next one is about what fictional character you identify with.
Mm.
I was thinking about this, and the first one that came into my head, I also feel like it's in Carrie's head. I think I know it's in Carrie's head. But the first one that came to my head was Mrs. De Winter from Rebecca.
No.
No. But I've only read like half of Rebecca. Isn't Mrs. De Winter like...
I think there were just moments when I was reading Rebecca, like when you'd like, she'd be like in the house by herself and like, his sister would come over and she was like trying to plan what she could do and where she could hide so she didn't have to like interact with his sister or do things. And like when she like moved into the new house and, oh my God, I can't remember, Evil Woman.
Mrs. Danvers.
I don't know. I just feel like there's a little part of me in Mrs. De Winter.
Oh, so I'm assuming Carrie also put Mrs. De Winter there.
Yeah. And I've been thinking about it for so long as well, so I wasn't guaranteed to pick that, so that is so spooky, because I did so many quizzes about which character I was, because I wasn't sure, and quite a few of them I actually got Jane Eyre on, which is interesting because there's so many similarities with Mrs. De Winter, I'd say, but yeah, because I can't go over that we've both picked her, and I was going to say for the same reason about that bit when she's trying to find how she can like escape and not go with her.
It's a great bit.
That is spooky, spooky sessions with Tea with Keller.
What about you, George?
I struggled to think of this one, but I've settled on an answer, which I can't decide. I still can't decide whether I feel is truly accurate or not. But I have gone with Bilbo Baggins. Because, well, I mean, side note, I do adore The Hobbit and the entire franchise. But I was sitting there thinking, and I was like, you know what, Bilbo, he loves his little homely comforts, he loves cooking, he doesn't really like going out of his, like, safety zone. I was like, I can resonate with that as a very anxious traveller, which is truly Bilbo.
Yes.
But I also resonated with him, like, having a lot of loyalty to his friends and, like, sticking to his, like, if he said he was going to do something, he was going to do it. Like, it doesn't matter what happens, which I'd like to think is a trait I have. So I was like, yeah, you know what? I think I feel an affinity with Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah.
So that is my answer.
I like that, actually. If I were a hobbit, I'd be Frodo Baggins. I would not want to be Frodo Baggins. I would be, because I seem like I've got my life together, but I'm actually just entirely held up by Samwise Gamgee.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not moving along on my own.
I just want to meet Sam just to thank him on behalf of everyone.
You can come to the dinner party.
Yeah.
You know,
he deserves that after everything Frozo put through.
I found it really tricky to answer this one because a lot of it's sort of, it doesn't quite feel right. It's sort of, you can never actually say, oh, I am exactly like this person, because it always sort of throws you off. And I actually, a lot of the books I've been reading at the moment are really quite, some of them have been fantasy, so, you know, I'm not this strong person with a sword going and killing, I don't know, dragons and the like. And some have been, they're thrown into situations where I wouldn't find myself. But if I had to pick one, I'd go with, Annabeth Chase, as in from the Percy Jackson series.
Yeah, yeah.
She's cool, she's blonde. I used to be a bit blonder than my mom. She had curly hair, and I don't know, she was just so done with Percy all the time. I was like, I really respect that. You go through life with a bit of a sense of humour, and some brain power, which is what's getting going through a lot of my life. Otherwise,
that's a nice round of well, I say nice round of answers. The crazy thing of having two that are the same.
Well, it just add it to the list of reasons why we're the same person.
Yeah, it's a bit terrifying sometimes, huh?
Yeah. You're convincing us more and more every day.
Mm. Ugh, I know. Keep up appearances and all that. Okay, the next question is about, I can't remember exactly how it's worded. What author would you like to be trapped in the lift with, and what would you ask them? I actually couldn't write down an answer to this, because I feel like there are so many authors I'd want to meet and ask them questions, but I don't think the questions I would ask would be able to be answered in like a 1 minute lift ride.
Interesting. You are stuck in that lift, so you've got the opportunity. Depends how fast the maintenance team are.
Exactly. So I just don't know, because I wouldn't want to meet an author and ask them a question they've been asked a million times before, because you'd get a really boring, uninterested answer from them. And like, that would seem like a waste of talking to them. I don't know.
No, it's really interesting.
So
I almost wouldn't decide. Want to ask them about their book. I'd want to ask them about their
Because life, like, surely they get asked all the time about things like that. I don't know whether it's like a don't meet your heroes thing, being like, just in case they're not what you think they are, don't risk it. But knowing me, if I actually was in a situation where I was with an author in the lift, I'd be too nervous to say anything.
Yeah.
And I'd just be stood there awkwardly for however long it was. The occasional, like, hi, how are you?
How's your day been?
Yeah.
Stuck in a lift? Oh, that's bad, me too.
Basically an introvert's nightmare.
Yeah. Realistically, I think that would be all of us.
Yeah.
Recognise them first.
Yeah, but I probably would, but then I'd be doubting. I'd be like, is that actually them, or does it just look like them? So then I just wouldn't ask. But yeah. So, sorry, cop out from me there.
But a very valid answer, because I almost also went with that answer. But I decided that I would, if I was a lift, it would be with Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie.
Good choice.
One, because she just seems like a lovely person. And I think, well, if I'm going to be trapped in a lift, then that's quite a nice person to chat with. And this is the worry I have, that my question would be too, like, a well-trodden path. Like, am I going to get a good answer? But I would ask them, what has writing given you? Because I just like to know. Because I think she's such a standout and, like, trailblazing author that I would genuinely like to know that the way it's changed her world. And I think, because the fact that she gives a voice to people that aren't always heard, I think it makes perhaps her experience of publishing perhaps a more, like, gratifying experience. So that's who I settled with.
I noticed that you gave the Dear Ijoeli book a really, like, good positive review on Goodreads. And I wasn't expecting that, because I sort of was reading it in a little bit of boredom, because we had to read it for our course syllabus. And I picked up Goodreads and was like, oh my God, Georgina is in love with her.
Yes, I am.
Well, I picked Graham Norton. I was so close to not. I was like, I don't want to pick anyone. I'm too awkward. I don't want to talk to any of these people. But I decided I want to ask him just what is his perspective on how his life's turned out. I don't know. I want to have a deep chat with him. I don't know what he'd be comfortable talking about, but because he's quite a role model for me, and because I love his books so much, and the other ones as well are really good. And I love watching his show, and he's a good actor. And he's just so funny, and he seems like a really nice guy from what you get, what he shows the public. And so I just think he's so successful. I really wonder, like, how he feels. Does he, like, did he imagine his life was going to end up like that? Or does he have regrets? Like, I don't know. I just wonder how he feels about his life, because he seems like a person who thinks a lot from, well, I get that from his writing.
I've tried to squeeze everything I can out of this question. So I've mentioned before that I would have been a classics student if I wasn't an English student. I would like to meet Sophocles, the writer of Oedipus the King, which is a play, but it, you know, you never actually see it, so it counts as a book. Oedipus the King is a really, like, if you were ever to branch out into reading some Greek tragedy, I'd always tell you to go to Oedipus the King, because it's just, well, cool, nice plot, like, really fabulous description, and you're like, oh my god. And one of the most interesting things about it is the fact that depends on context, and that would be what I want to ask, but potentially Sophocles actually, like, values the input of women and, like, lower class people in society, and I essentially, it wouldn't matter if it turned out to be true, because I'd be like, oh, never mind. But I want to meet him and ask him about, like, the culture and the way that a contemporary person would have read his book, and therefore, you know, his intentions behind it. Mm. Am I reading some feminism into this? Am I reading some, like more into it than I should? Or actually, were the people that first started translating Oedipus the King really old, fusty white dudes in the 1600s who therefore, like, who set the tone of Oedipus the King as being, and everything in classics as being all sexist, and I can interpret it that way, and that's, and our interpretation has persisted. Like, I'd want to know.
Yes.
I'm allowed to like it, actually.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is right? Really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I'd ask about, like, everything on the entire planet. Like, so, ancient Greece.
Quickly.
Yeah. It turns out you're the one that's broken the lift, because you just saw him in there and you were like...
Well, he's quite distinctive. He's got a lot of beard there. I'd notice him.
Yeah. Very distinguishable features.
Yeah. Well, we've been, like, just over an hour, but I thought if we... finish it off by each picking our favourite question of the ones left. Like, we don't have to go through all of them, but so just pick your favourite question of the ones that are left and answer that. So I'll kick us off with my final one, which is a book that reminds you of someone.
Mm.
I really liked this question. And the book I went for was The Scarlet Pimpernel, which, so good. Everyone should read it. It's brilliant. And this book reminds me of my dad, because it's the only fiction book he's ever picked up and read, like, of his own accord, because he wanted to, and he actually enjoyed it and then recommended it to me. I read it. So good. It's just so fast-paced and exciting, and it's, like, a mystery, and it's not resolved until, like, the last, like, two pages. It just keeps you on the edge the entire time. And my father and I have a great idea for a film adaptation of it, which slightly twists the ending, but we've added that to the stack of films we're going to make in our lives. But yeah, so I would recommend everyone read The Scarlet Pimpernel.
Only if we're allowed to come to the Scarlet Carpet event.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Thank you. I love you, wrote it.
A baroness, I can't remember her name. I think it begins with an O. I don't know, I'll find it and let you know. And we can always put all of the books we've mentioned.
Yeah, let's do that, yeah.
Yeah, that's my bonus question to end it. What's your...
That was almost a hard question itself, saying pick your favourite question. I think I'm going to go for, what is your favourite non-fiction book? Which for me is Step by Step by Simon Reeve. Don't know if people know who Simon Reeve is, but he is, like, a travel documentary person. And on one hand, I think he does the best travel logs, because he doesn't have a script. Like, he just goes somewhere and he discusses all aspects. Like, he always understands that there's two sides, like, no matter how difficult it is. Like, it's like he really cares about human lives, and he goes out of his way to find people to talk to, like, trying to avoid the secret police that are following them, just to try and get a real person's perspective. And so when he released his autobiography, I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. But it turns out, like, he had a super, super difficult childhood, and he almost committed suicide when he was 18. And it was just, he just saw some lorry lights and it like freaked him out, and he was literally like on a bridge. And he was like, from then on, I did everything like step by step. Like every part of my journey was just a small, recognizing it's a small part to your end point. Like you don't have to be doing massive things all at once. Just take it as it comes. And then, so his book kind of catalogues his early years to then realizing, and then he is where he is now with a wife and a child, and he's like, I could have thrown it all away just at that, because of that one point in my life. He's like, but I carried on and I've seen a lot and I've helped a lot of people, and they've realized, made me realize how lucky I am. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be a contender for a book that's changed my life. And I think I was like, I think it deserves a shout out, because I would really recommend it. Because it also makes you appreciate someone who seems, because a lot of people paint him off as like a kind of middle class, like guy that's just all going around traveling, but he's really had to work for what he's got. And I think that's really admirable, because also you see some like travelogue people and they're just these like stereotypical people that just walk around as like, oh, is your life hard? It's like, well, yeah, we know that, but Simon Reeve will be like, why is this happening to you in particular? Like, what has changed since this has happened? Like he just asked real questions, and his book was a joy to read. And he's a very good writer as well. He's actually quite a funny writer. So yes, that is my final answer for these questions. Apologies for the ramble.
Yeah, you know, someone's perspective on the world that you've made me want to really read now. I'm like, yeah, that'd be a really interesting way of looking at, you know, I want to see that now. Oh, / read it.
I haven't decided yet what I want to answer.
I don't know. It's hard when we love books so much. You will come to me last, because I actually don't know which one I want to talk about.
Well, the question I picked is, what is the funniest book you've read? This is also one of the saddest books I've ever read. Interestingly, oh my god, every other page I turn between laughing and crying. Really struck me just a lot, and it's also my favorite non-fiction book, and it is This Is Going to Hurt. Oh, I can't remember the name writes it. Anyone remember?
Adam Kay.
There you go. And it is quite famous. A lot of people probably know that it documents his time as a medical, quite a young medical practitioner. And he's hilarious. It is just a little collection of, you know, the stories and the things that he encountered while he was working. And some of them hilarious. I've seen names redacted, and they're like half a page to, you know, a sentence to like 3 pages long each one. But also some of these anecdotes are just awful. You know, he was a optician, I think, and seeing when a family's attempt to have a child failed, that was what made him leave that profession. He was like, it's too sad, and they do not support us through the fact that we are watching human lives end. I really appreciated knowing that it was a look into, you know, something so underappreciated by many in the NHS.
I have decided it's not a work that's as important as either of the previous answers, but it's just a really good piece of writing. Okay. And I am picking the question about what book would you bring on a first date to
nice question.
And I would bring Like Water for Chocolate by Laura Esquivel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written late 1980s, and it's a work of magical realism, and it's the first book I read that was of that genre. And it's set in Mexico,
at the turn of the century, and it's just amazing. It's set out in, like, it goes through each month, but each month is a recipe, but it tells a story over, I don't know, 50 odd years maybe, and it's just so cool. The whole thing is taught, it was revealed through recipes, which how did that, I don't understand how she could come up with that. Words fail me. Just the coolest thing ever. And so loads of supernatural things in it, lots of important pieces of social commentary in it as well, and I just have never read anything like it. It's amazing. I did it for A level and I was like, oh my god, where's this book been all my life? I just absolutely adore it. It's so good, and they made a movie out of it as well, which is pretty good.
So with this question, what we're really revealing to the world is that we don't want to go on dates, we just want to go to book clubs.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that we didn't even get through all the questions, like,
yeah,
we probably could have just all day.
Well, yeah, definitely.
And then read them for the rest of, you know, 3 years, essentially.
Yeah, I feel like I have so many more books to add to, like, my list of ones that have been sat on my shelf that I'm like, maybe I should actually get around to reading that now.
It makes me think that I need to create a friend's recommendation shelf on my Goodreads.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's go away and do that.
Well, let's finish off with blonde moments.
Mm-hmm. Have you had a blonde moment?
Well, no, I don't really know, because I was trying to think. I was like, were there any, like, because I can't remember names, right? I'm sorry, I'm thinking of A Thousand you Ships, because there were so... I know!
That's so unlike you, Emma.
Because there were so many different, like, women in A Thousand Ships. And I know a few of them were blonde, and they were, like, good old, strong, cool women. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, but I can't remember any of their names. But I'm just gonna... Maybe when I'll go back and actually find out and write them in the Instagram caption. Mm-hmm. So this is a rubbish one moment. It's the one gap on my post-it note.
Well,
so yeah, apologies.
I'd like to celebrate Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow.
Oh,
because
absolutely, that film is,
I know, because she turns blonde, which is controversial. Why would you go blonde? Frankly, red hair is just good, but at the same time, she kicks so much ass and should be celebrated for it.
That she does.
Very good.
My, oh, shall I, oh, did I go?
I said both your names, so it's fine.
My blonde moment does indeed go to our very own Kerry.
No.
Yeah, because it was her idea to see As You Like It at the Globe, and I had a wonderful time yesterday in London. So my blonde moment goes to Kerry.
Aww.
I would pick you back, but you need to get a wig first.
Yeah.
Well, I picked the actress who played Rosalind in As You Like It yesterday. She's called Emma Ernest. And it was a really good production, I thought. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was funny. And she did a very good job as the lead. So.
Yeah, she is a very good actress.
Oh, I'm glad. Well, thank you to both of you for being here.
Thank you.
About books.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for giving me book recommendations.
And we'll be back in a couple of weeks, I think, with a Twilight episode. You know, just keeping things fresh, mixing them up, you know.
Thanks for listening to
Tea O'Clock
with Keller.
See you next time.